Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Marlene Lockhart and I will talk with Mike Wilden. He's the head of Health and Human Services in the great state of Nevada. And on the Power Pundit panel, a very lively discussion with Larry Mathias, Mindy Elliott, and Dory Guy. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
California Closets, the leader in home storage solutions, is serving the Reno Tahoe area. Let our team of specialists help you reimagine new spaces in your home or office. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Over the top, erroneous, out of context. Big Oil's new attack ad. President Obama's clean energy initiatives have helped create jobs for projects across America, not overseas. What about Mitt Romney? As a corporate CEO, he shipped American jobs to places like Mexico and China. As governor, he outsourced state jobs to a call center in India. He's still pushing tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. It's just what you'd expect from a guy who had a Swiss bank account.
Business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Is your garage a disaster area? California Closets can help. We can turn your messy garage into a model of organization. Zero down, 0% financing available. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome the program Mike Wilden. He is the director of the Department of Health and Human Services. Pleasure to have you back on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
The governor has signaled that the era of budget cuts is over. What does this kind of stabilization mean for your department?
Well, I guess the first thing, Sam, is you know we've gone through 4 years of significant cuts. We've reduced spending by about $400 million over the last year. So it'll be our first opportunity for at least two legislative cycles to take a look at some of the issues where we deal with waiting lists for services and some of the services that we've cut to potentially restore back. We also have some issues that where we've had to shift a lot of the financing of our programs to the counties. That'll be a big issue going forward. We assessed the counties for lots of services that the state provides, so those will probably be big issues going forward.
So do you anticipate that you'll be looking for an increase in revenue from the state?
The increase for revenue will come from caseload growth, not from probably new programs or those kinds of things. We're still in a caseload growth phase, although, you know, if you look back over the last 3 years where we were having between 15 and 45% growth per year. In the Medicaid program is the largest program that we administer, and then what we call SNAP, which is the old food stamp program. Those are the two largest growth and eat up most of the funds. Caseload growth now is flattened quite a bit. Last 3 months actually has been flat, but we will probably be in the 4, 5, 6% growth, more of a normal growth, population kind of growth, than the growth we saw in the last 3 years when the economic downturn just caused tremendous growth. Again, in Medicaid and SNAP, we went from under 200,000 recipients a month in 2007-08 to now we're at about 325,000 recipients on Medicaid and 355,000 on SNAP. So doubled our caseload over 3 years.
And that is now has maintained?
It has been flat for the last 3 months in slight declines. So we're hopeful, knock on wood, that we're flattening out. The economy is improving, and we'll see people go back to work and not have to access, you know, Medicaid and SNAP and our public assistance programs.
Mike, over this period that you've had to cut back on so many programs, what area do you think has been impacted the most, that has suffered the most from the cuts?
I would probably say mental health. Mental health has a large amount of general fund dollars in our mental health programs. There's very little federal dollars in mental health, whereas in Medicaid and SNAP and some of the others, there's quite a few federal dollars in that. So probably our mental health programs are where we've had to pare back significantly. We had to decrease the size of our mental health hospital. I mean, the hospital itself didn't decrease, but we decreased the number of acute beds that we could run and manage. And also we reduced lots of outpatient services, pharmacy clinic, you know, those kinds of things. So mental health will probably get a lot of attention going forward again.
Can you be specific in terms of what kind of services people were not getting? Because I think if you're not in a family that is receiving or had received services in mental health, you really don't understand what the need is.
Well, the key to mental health, like a lot of our services, are what we call low-level services. You try to have services in the community. These people need to be medication compliant. They need to be seen periodically by a psychiatrist or medical professionals to prescribe their medication and keep them on their medication. We provide various therapies. We call it outpatient clinics, those types of things. So if you can't do those basic front-end preventive kinds of things, then you have acute episodes where people need to be hospitalized. They're picked up by police, fire, whatever, taken to a local emergency room, evaluated, stabilized there, and then come into our hospital system. So our goal is always keep someone in the community. It's lower cost. It's a better quality of life for them. They're more productive citizens. We try to avoid that acute episode of hospitalization. And so if you end up reducing some of those community services, you end up putting pressure on your hospital services.
And have you seen a rise in the acute episodes since these cutbacks have taken place?
Well, there's periodic issues that we have. I mean, if you talk to our local hospitals and ERs where people sometimes we have backups periodically. I mean, the numbers have been stable. I'll say that, you know, for the last couple years, not like what we had early on. You can probably recall several years ago when ex-Clark County Manager Tom Riley created or caused a, he didn't cause it, he called for a public health emergency because the emergency rooms were so backed up initially when we started paring back on services. That has stabilized, and again, we're running significantly less beds today. Again, trying to do a better job of keeping people in the community through our residential supports, medication compliance, and the therapies that those individuals need.
Have the rurals taken the biggest hit on this?
Rurals have been impacted heavily in mental health. You know, we get criticized a lot from county commissioners and local, you know, helping organizations that the state just doesn't have the level of services that we did in rural mental health. We're working on that. We're looking at a kind of an efficiency going forward to combine some of our public health programs, our nursing, community health nursing programs, with our mental health programs and trying to, again, keep those services in the community. But yes, rural mental health, it's always been a shortage of mental health providers out there. We have to, if you will, fly in physicians, psychiatrists, nurses. We have a lot of traveling doctors and medical professionals. It's difficult to provide a sustainable level of services in rural Nevada.
You know, it's interesting. In the regular medical world, there's been so much combining of businesses and groups now coming under different hospital groups that a lot of doctors are doing a lot more traveling than they used to do before as well, just to maintain.
Absolutely. And, you know, give you an example. I mean, one of the things we're looking at out in Elko, you know, there's a hospital out there, Life Point Hospital, the Elko Hospital. They've recently hired some psychiatry staff. And so we're looking at some synergisms there, you know, that, again, how do we partner with the you know, the private sector, which that's a for-profit hospital out there, that how do we partner with them, have them deliver services and not have, if you will, competing interests in the community. So there's some meetings next week with the Elko community as to how we better deliver services there. Again, hospital services, community health nursing, and mental health services.
All right, let's take a break. More with Mike Wilden when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Welcome. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Wilden. He is the director of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Mike, one of the big programs that from a federal level is the president's healthcare bill that is in flux within the Supreme Court. But Nevada was one of the leaders, in my view, of getting ready for the implementation of the healthcare legislation. And you played a key role. I know they now have hired a permanent executive director. But there's different information out there about the various costs to the state if the legislation is actually implemented, with Medicaid being the highest number that we hear tossed around. In reality, what will that cost the state versus what will the feds pay for on the Medicaid side?
Thank you. The as you indicated, the Affordable Care Act was passed 2 years ago, March, and it does have significant impact on the states, specifically the state of Nevada. There's two major areas of impact. One is that the state needs to create what we call a health insurance exchange, and that's what we initially started to focus on, and now we've hired John Hager as the executive director of the exchange, and there's a board overlooking that. And that will be a place where insurance can be sold and bought by some of the public in Nevada. The other major part of the Affordable Care Act is the Medicaid expansion. And the Medicaid expansion, in simple terms, is every man, woman, and child in Nevada or America who has income under 138% of poverty will be Medicaid eligible. Our estimates in Nevada is, as I indicated, we have about 325,000 people on Medicaid or our checkup program now, and we may see upwards of 150,000 more people eligible for Medicaid because we pick up a group that we've never covered in Nevada, and that's what we call childless adults. Nevada has never served childless adults, and now we will need to cover them, and then we also will have to increase our income eligibility guidelines. The federal government will pay 50% of the costs of new eligibles. So for these childless adults, the federal government will pay 100% of the costs. Now, what does that mean? It's just which pocket your taxes are coming out of. And so that's that'll be a challenge of enrolling those people and the administrative costs for that. And then the state will still have to share in the costs of the other part of the expansion. 2 years ago, we did an estimate on best information we knew at the time. Over between now and 2020, we estimate the cost to be $574 million to the state of Nevada. And that is largely from three or four areas: the growth of the new eligibles, what we call woodwork factor, that because of the individual mandate part of the health care reform, you have to have insurance. There will be people coming to Medicaid that are currently eligible but have not enrolled for whatever reason. Information technology costs, you have to have new systems to support this, and then the law also requires some increased payments to primary care physicians. So when you look at all of those things, we estimated $574 million costs.
Okay, so the question that strikes me is our medical profession in Nevada ramped up enough to be able to handle this many more patients?
Sam, I don't think so. That's that is the number one thing that we have fear. If the Supreme Court lets the law stand as it is, and the Medicaid expansion and the insurance exchange, as you know, we're one of the worst in the nation when it comes to primary care physicians, ratios to population, specialists of various kinds, ratios to population, and you bring in many, many more on Medicaid. I don't think there will be what we call adequate networks to provide that. So that will be a challenge for the state, the workforce issues. I think it will require us to bring additional physicians into the state, and that's a huge competition issue nationally. I mean, there's only so many physicians, and what's Nevada got going that Utah or Colorado or Massachusetts doesn't have going? I also think it will be a big issue for what each profession is licensed to do. I think we will have to tackle some issues of what can physician extenders do, what can the nursing workforce do, those kinds of issues. Scope of practice issues is what we call it. I think those will be big issues in 2013 and 2015.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, with the Medicare reimbursements, people are not happy about the level of those to begin with, and some doctors will not take patients on Medicare and Medicaid. Do you think that that will expand, too, or is there a provision within the law that forces doctors to be able to see more of those kind of patients?
No, we think that will be an issue. That we think that the public assistance programs, Medicaid particularly, will have to evaluate the rates we pay, because the commercial market will pay what they need to pay to get a network to provide services. And so we believe that will be a challenge for us, and we don't have a solution yet. Almost all of the networks or physicians sign up to take Medicaid now, but many times we see our patients go and the practice will take Medicaid patients, but their panel is full.
Right.
So then we have to, you know, deal with the access issue, and unfortunately sometimes it means we provide care through the emergency room, which is the most expensive care that can be provided.
The worst way to go. We end the interview by saying more to come.
More to come.
All right. Thank you so much for being here, Mike. Always appreciate your input.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
On a hunt for a huge selection of RV parts and quality service? Then come on down to Safari. Safari is one of the nation's largest RV parts stores, and it's right here in the heart of Reno on Kitsky Lane. At Safari, we have over $1 million in RV parts in stock. Safari has a jungle full of satellites, solar systems, plumbing parts, furniture, and so much more. Everybody on Safari's staff is an experienced RV enthusiast, and our service technicians have the training to repair your RV right. At Safari, we don't monkey around, so come on down today.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Time to enjoy winter weather with Lightning Loot at the Nugget. Win random jackpots of $5,000 to $10,000 weekly. Every time anyone hits a Lightning Loot jackpot, everyone playing with a Johns Club card also wins $10 in free play. Pocket more cash on Hot Seat Tuesdays and Thursdays and earn entries into our big monthly drawings. Play Lightning Loot. It can strike anytime. And when it does, everybody wins.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel today. As always, Mindy Elliott is here, senior partner with Forte LLP. Larry Mathias is executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. And Dory Guy is chair of the Washoe Dems. Mindy, you were at the Republican convention this weekend. Your thoughts, ma'am?
Well, it was certainly a live audience. How about that? You know, the fact of the matter is there were 1,900 delegates, potential delegates from Vegas. They only brought up 900. There was room for Romney to bring some additional delegates. And the Ron Paul folks, they showed up. They were disciplined. They knew what to do. And frankly, we were outworked.
Well, you know, it was interesting because I made the point to Professor Thompson that the Christian conservatives back in the Reagan days organized mm-hmm. through Christian radio. They did the same thing. They were able to help take over a good portion of the party by being that organized. Where do you think this is heading?
For Nevada or for...
Well, for Nevada initially.
For Nevada initially, the Ron Paul faction, it's called the Liberty Movement. I learned that this weekend. They have control of the party. They have all the, for the most part, they have the executive board. They now have the national committee man, national committee woman. So they are in control of the party right now.
Dory Guy, your thoughts as you watch this from the Democratic side of the aisle.
Oh, I just, you know... I think the Republican Party needs to be a little more organized.
I think, yeah.
You know, I compare it to my own party and our conventions and what we've done, and it just seems like we're always so organized. And, you know, we recently had our county convention, and it just went off like a...
It was a love fest.
It was. It really was. And, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I kind of feel sorry for the Republicans.
Larry,
by the same token.
You know, as we look at this, and if you go back a few years ago, the Republican Party has been so disorganized that at one point John Ensign was planning to put together an organization that would be parallel to the Republican Party to kind of take control. Why is the Republican Party not able to get itself, the mainstream portion, shall we say, organized?
Well, I think in Nevada there are a large portion of our population who sometimes are Democrats and sometimes are Republicans, but are really libertarians. They're really not driven by party as much as message and ideology. They've now camped out in the Republican ranks.
This is the only place they can get elected.
Because the only place they can get elected now. But in the 60s, most of the libertarians were left libertarians. They didn't want to get drafted and didn't want the government taking away their drugs. Now they're mostly on the mostly on the right. They don't want the government to take their taxes and don't want them to take their drugs.
Prescription drugs this time.
Or whatever, yeah. So whether or not, one of the problems with anybody whose principal focus is on legalization of drugs, they often forget to turn out when the vote comes. But I do think it shows an underlying strain in the Republican Party. There's an underlying strain in the Democratic Party, too, and we'd be talking about that if it wasn't so much more colorful to watch the Republicans right now.
As you listen to the speeches at the convention, mm-hmm. where do you agree and where do you disagree with the Paulites?
Mike, personally? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm about getting Republicans elected. And I think that, as Larry alluded to, it's more philosophical for them. It's they want constitutional conservatives, and frankly, I'm still not sure what that represents. And for us, for the mainstream folks, Washoe, I'm very proud. Washoe is able to maintain three of the spots for Romney. The Washoe County Republican Party is a blend of folks. So that's good. And we have Ron Paul, we have Tea Party, we have the moderates, and we all seem to work together, mm-hmm. which is good for Washoe County. But for the state and the speeches, I have to tell you that...
how do you define a constitutional conservative?
What's an unconstitutional conservative?
Well, that was, if you read the comments in the paper today of Mr. Smack, you see that he says that there's criterion that they're the constitutional, that they're everything, and frankly, if you're not in agreement with them, it's hard.
It's too bad.
Larry, we have a constitution.
Yes, we do.
Does that not go hand in hand with, if you're going to be a constitutional conservative, you are going to apply the Constitution to whatever your thoughts are?
Well, we have nine people who are appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court who can't seem to decide what the Constitution is, and that's all they do. So I think the Constitution is a very malleable document that can be used to justify a lot of different and sometimes rather cranky positions. It's the strength of the Constitution. It's why it's been able to survive as long as it has. No constitutional republic has survived as long as ours, with essentially the same document. Now, we've almost dismantled ourselves several times, and I sometimes think that some of the folks on the extreme libertarian viewpoint actually have trouble with parts of the Constitution, since it's a document that relies on a certain amount of tolerance among each other, and requires a role for the entire Constitution defines the role for government. And so it can't be anti-government, and yet the rhetoric often turns really to be anti-government itself. But I think it's a movement, and Dr. Paul is going to get plenty of time. It's good for Nevada because we will be the only Paulite state, and that means every time Fox or any of the MSNBC, anytime they want to do a sort of a where is the libertarian right of the Republican Party, they'll do a Nevada story.
Dory, you know, Washoe County is a swing county in a swing state. How does this all play out for you?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, we have the president coming this Friday, and I have no doubt that that Washoe County will deliver the president.
And your thoughts on the same question?
I think Washoe County is a, from our perspective, Washoe County is we've done a good job. We have a good communication amongst all the Republicans, and we're going to deliver Mr. Romney.
Well, we've registered 9,000 more Democrats.
But we're going to get ours out.
Obviously, the president is concerned that this is one of those areas that's going to be a battleground.
Absolutely.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I'm attorney Pat Fair from Action Legal Services. We can help you start a new beginning. We've done bankruptcies for 15 years, helping Nevadans like you with prompt, courteous, and effective service. Get the help you need today and call us at Action Legal Services.
For authentic and exotic Asian groceries, shop the Manila Hong Kong store. Browse a variety of hard-to-get imported foods from Asia and the Pacific Islands. You'll find aisles of jasmine brown and sushi rice products, Chinese teas, all fresh fish and produce direct from San Francisco's Chinatown. Enjoy homemade oriental dishes right in our kitchen. Plus, we handle Balik Bayan boxes for the Philippines, travel tickets to Asia, money transfers, and more. The Manila Hong Kong store on Audi Boulevard next to Savers.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0672 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Hi, I'm attorney Pat Fair from Action Legal Services. Bankruptcy laws are complex. You need an experienced attorney to get the debt relief you need. Call our information line at 786-1447 and get answers to your questions today.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Bill Thompson, the gaming expert from UNLV, will be here, and he has some interesting news about what's going on in Macau.